welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, as always, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, two fine gentlemen.
Very fine.
Both from...
Very fine.
if I don't say so myself. Both sure. From the new Portal team.
Yes.
Which is really exciting, because we're actually going to get a fairly extensive talk today about, you know, some of the decisions around the Portal, why we went there, what it's using under the covers, and some other features like that. So, very interesting. Do you both want to introduce yourselves?
Sure.
Excellent.
I'm Vishal Joshi. I've been bugging you guys for a while now. So, but yes, I worked on the new Portal, and we have a lot of interesting things to tell you about how we came up with it.
Excellent.
Brad Olenek, I'm architect of the new Portal, kind of just managing coordination of the technical aspects of it and whatnot.
He had a hard hat on earlier, but
Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. So, we've come a long way. Like, I started with Azure, like, I looked at it in 2008, but I didn't really start heavily looking at it until 2009. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, there was an HTML portal, and it was awesome. And then we kind of transitioned to a Silverlight-based portal.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, being open and we wanted everyone to be able to play around on Azure, we went back to an HTML portal. And now we're going one step further and we're making it flashy and fancy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a huge amount of transitions there, but I guess really what I'm curious about is why a brand new portal right now? Like, what were the decisions behind it?
Yeah, I think this is an excellent question, and I think we should always start with why. When we had original HTML portal, we started off with like some 6 or 7 or 8 services, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And like by now, everything is in cloud, right? And we had to start reimagining everything based on what if like an app consumes everything in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then we realized that almost all cloud portals are primarily focused around resources, right? Which is like, oh, look at all the VMs and look at all the databases and look at all mm-hmm. this and that.
Right.
And we wanted to basically take a different approach. We wanted to take an approach where we looked at people's applications and like talked about like how would my application look like in this thing. Well, clearly if you wanted to look at a VM, you should be able to, but like if my app consisted of a VM and a database and a blob and yada yada, how would it look like? Which is the reason why we basically came up with, and although new portal is what you see in the front, in reality it is a new stack.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, what I mean is that we actually have a whole new layer called Azure Resource Manager.
Right.
Fundamentally, everything goes inside what we call as a resource group, which is kind of like your application.
Yeah.
You can manage the entire life cycle of this together. So like start a resource group, like, you know, delete it or do stuff like that. But you can now see everything in a unified way. You can basically see monitoring data across all of these. Eventually you'll see billing data. So you can do everything which is centered around your app, right? Mm-hmm. Manage permissions at an app level. So there's an API, and then there is UI. And when we were basically doing this, we basically said we might as well just take this opportunity and rethink how a UI would look like if it was centered around people's applications as opposed to our services, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, that is the genesis of this.
I think you made a huge distinction there is a lot of the stuff was service-based before. So it's like, here's all the things that we offer.
Right.
But really, as a developer, and you know, everyone out there is probably agreeing with, your application's composed of more than just individual services. So mm-hmm. I think that is a huge distinction where you can actually say, here's the entire composition of my application, here's all of the services that it consumes, and here's the unified monitoring that I need to be able to pay attention to what my application's actually doing.
Yep, right.
And I think, you know, that to me is, you know, as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's why we needed a new portal.
Well, being able to see those different aspects of your app side by side as well is really powerful.
Yeah.
You know, what we had before this is people jumping around from different web UIs, you know, doing the different tasks of their daily job. Now seeing all this side by side, it really gives you a lot more power, a lot more flexibility.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right, so what are some of the principles behind the new portal?
Well, That's an interesting question. So if we try to recollect what we told the team when we started this project, it was fundamentally about the thing that we need the new portal to be uniquely Microsoft in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Like yeah. Microsoft has a design language, and we basically need to be in that and imagine it in a way that it adheres to that, but provides to cloud, right? So that mm-hmm. was one of the thing. The other thing was that, you know, it is web, it is built of links, but we wanted to like go step ahead and say, if we were to restart thinking of links today, how would they look like? Which mm-hmm. is where right. our notions right. of blades and journeys came about, right? Right. That was another principle. And the third thing was like, it really needs to scale to millions of people and to million, right. like not millions of services, but like thousands of services, mm-hmm. right? Right? So I think that those were kind of like the, I would basically say, so uniquely Microsoft, approachable by many, many people, and as simple to use as like web and stuff were kind of like the guiding principles, I would yeah. basically yeah. say. Right? Yeah.
And by looking at the portal here, you can actually see where that's come to life. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you look at the new design of Windows 8, there's tiles, there's the whole start bar experience. This is really much, you know, Microsoft's new design direction mm-hmm. encapsulated into sure. a web experience, which, I mean, this is amazing because, and I keep mm-hmm. saying this, you guys have literally gone and reimagined what a website can be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, you're really breaking the barriers of right. what people think of the web today. Yeah. So I'm incredibly excited right. about this.
Yeah, and we go beyond, you know, the Windows 8 design language.
Yes.
Even. Yeah, you know, our yeah. notion of parts, they're very rich. They're beyond just a mere live tile in Windows 8.
Yeah.
And so I think that opens a lot of opportunities as well.
Cool. Yeah. So you mentioned blades and, you know, a couple other pieces that are involved here. Can you, like, our audience doesn't really know much about it because it's, you know, brand new to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you kind
right,
of do a
right.
dive in on what all these different aspects are and what they can expect?
Yes. So let's do a 101 kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So going to the portal, what you see on the dashboard, this is a completely customizable your own dashboard, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can actually like pin and unpin anything that you want. The top part, which you see over here, is service health. So you can basically look at it and say, okay, how is Azure doing, yep. right? Yep. And I could basically click on this, and as soon as I click on this, what opens is what we call as a blade, mm-hmm. right? A blade is a vertical layout. It is kind of optimized for mobile devices. So like, you know, if you were looking at it on a mobile phone, you could basically scroll up and down, right? Like, mm-hmm. it would work with touch. And if I wanted to basically like care about one of these services, which is say I use compute, mm-hmm. so I click on compute and it drills deeper into compute. And let's say you basically say, so there is another blade, and this effectively is what we call as a journey, right? A blade opening a blade, like again, as simple as links, but links much more powerful, yeah. right? And what I can do next is, if I have my compute VM in WestUS, I could right-click on this, and I could go ahead, and it opens and says, oh, no problem, pin to startboard. And I can basically have WestUS pin to startboard so that I exactly know what is going on with that particular region. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, even though the map is pretty, I could choose not to have it and just have the WestUS, and that's fine, right? So what you saw was a part, opening a blade, opening another blade, mm-hmm. forming a journey, right? And taking something and being able to pin. Right. So anything and everything in Azure Portal mm-hmm. Is something which you can pin to the start board, right?
Cool.
So that is those are parts journeys. Other interesting pieces to see are these left side things that we call as hubs, right?
Okay.
So the reason why we call them as hubs is that most of the cloud is powered by services which are pretty vertical towards a scenario, like
right,
websites
right.
giving websites and mobile giving mobile mm-hmm. and VMs giving compute and storage and network and you name it. But there are services which actually are cross-cutting services across all of these. And those are the ones which we call as horizontal services or hubs. Mm-hmm. You know, notification is an example of that. So for instance, right now I don't have a notification, but if I choose to create something, then a notification will come from everywhere, all services, and will show up over there.
Right.
Similarly, like if you want to browse your services, which we still allow you to, mm-hmm. you can go and look at it over here, mm-hmm. right? And the journeys that we talked about, that is essentially like, you know, the journeys which already exist,
mm-hmm, right.
and how can I basically switch between multiple journeys? So it's similar to the alt tab of the cloud,
yeah.
you know, like
yeah.
where you can actually like switch between. So if I had this thing which was going on before, I click on it and it will basically like open what's new, because so, that's what was going on before, you know?
So journeys are like, if you think about it conceptually, you know, you and it's really funny because the whole blade is literally taking steps through a journey.
Right.
But you could have multiple journeys going on at once, right?
Because you're
looking at service health, the one area, you find out something's going wrong, you quickly switch to something else, and it collapses the one journey and expands a new one.
That's definitely, you know, in the same way in windowing environments, you're launching multiple apps.
Yeah.
Because you're doing multiple things at once concurrently, right? This is what we're putting in front of people here.
Cool. And then when you go into that journeys tab, they're all there, so you can quickly go back to the existing things that you're doing. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and all of this data, which is in one journey, is not really lost. So for instance, if you were in a website, you went to website settings and you were editing app settings or connection strings or something like that in webconfig, and you got a notification which actually said your database is down.
Right.
You can click on that notification, which will suddenly take you into into that database while not losing your data, which was in the website. So that is what essentially the journeys piece is. And the final hub over there is billing. We basically had a different billing portal, and not everyone gives as much importance to billing, but after being in this space for a while, we have realized that people are very, very concerned or very, very particular about the way their money is managed. So we basically created a dedicated hub for billing where you can see your different subscriptions. Mm-hmm. I can click on one of these subscriptions and I can go into that particular subscription and you can see that a blade comes out, right? And again, this time the blade is a little bit bigger, and the same parts which you see over here, those are the kind of parts which show up over here as well, right? And you can take any one of these parts and right click and pin to start board, just like anything else, right? So you can make a beautiful start board for yourself depending upon what you care about.
Yeah.
And the other interesting piece over here is that there is something which we call as lenses. Mm-hmm. So lenses are basically a collection of parts playing together for a single purpose. So service management is probably a lens, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a lens over there. Then breakdown of current charges by resources. So here I can actually find out how much did my website cost, how much did my this other website cost, and how much did the DB cost, right? Mm-hmm. And if I want to basically take this and this, then it basically tells me, 46% of the cost is coming from that website and DB, right? Mm-hmm. So that is breakdown of cost is a lens, and then details is a lens.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that is kind of the notion of lenses. So we quickly, what all did we talk about? We talked about parts or tiles, right? Which have all these rich data, which is coming in.
Yep.
We talked about blades. Mm-hmm. We talked about blades opening journeys. Then we talked about lenses, which is essentially inside a blade, but it's a collection of parts.
Right.
And then we talked about a bunch of different hubs, right?
Yep.
And finally, the last piece, which is worth noting, is the gallery.
Yep.
This is essentially where you go and create things, right?
Yep.
You can access it from here, where you see quick view, and then when you click on everything, you go to the same place,
mm-hmm.
or there is a beautiful shiny little tile over there, which you can click and you can see, all the different things that Azure offers, both Microsoft as well as non-Microsoft assets, right? That's super important to note that, for instance, this SQL is from Microsoft, but MySQL is from ClearDB, So that is essentially our gallery. Clicking on any one of these will basically then launch a create experience. It will give you the details, and then you can say create, and then that basically is creating your website, right?
Yeah. Cool.
So that's kind of a quick intro to what the new portal looks like.
So this whole experience, you call it a dashboard, but is it potentially called a start board?
It is actually called as a start board. Dashboard is fine, means just like tiles is fine, parts is what we call it. But the reason why we call this as a start board is because it is something which is yours and uniquely yours, right? So you can pin, unpin, and stuff like that. And when you log in, that's how it's going to look like, right?
Yeah.
So if, for instance, let's do one small experiment over here, right? So I basically do that. I can right click over here, and I can say customize. Mm-hmm. When I do that, I can take this one, and you can see that there is a drop target over here.
Yeah.
I can drop that. We can go over here. We can say, we want to see this as mini. So we are going to make it mini, which is West US, and we can pull it over here. Right. So now what has just happened is that I have customized my start board. Right. If I do not like blue color, I can actually go and say, I want gray color.
Cool.
So now it's going to reload and it's going to make my dashboard gray color, right? And it is going to remember it even if I basically log in from a different browser or anywhere else.
Right. Cool.
Now, your question, which was a long-winded answer to that, that why is it not a dashboard, means the reason is that this is yours. And usually dashboards are shared across multiple people, right?
Yeah.
And start board is your own personal start board.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people want dashboards, and so you can clearly make a start board into dashboard. Mm-hmm. Dashboard would probably look like that, but we have more interesting plans in the future where you can actually like create dashboards for like teams, for projections, and for stuff like that.
Cool. So, and the cool thing about this is, because it is uniquely yours, you may have a different, it's starting to get pretty busy here on your monitor.
Right.
But we have a little video of the first time that you use this on a PPI device.
Right.
And yes.
Bob, would you run that video for us?
What do we want to see? We want to see the spectacle. That's pretty cool.
I think doing a really extensive journey and going left to right was pretty sweet.
Yeah, you can go sessions for browser and drill down. That is pretty awesome. We can take a look how Internet Explorer looks like there, and go back to the home screen there. That's pretty gorgeous. You can go into customize mode, so you can click on that, hit customize. Let's take a look at this. We basically say we don't want this guy, and let's go down and do this console thing. Then we'll basically say save. Actually, let us see if we can move these things around a little bit. So we can do customize. Let's say our console wants to be here. That's pretty cool. Or the fact that we don't need this tour anymore, so we're going to unpin that and then take this console and place that over here. And once that is done, then we basically go and say done customizing. Boom! It's beautiful. So this has dashboard. Apparently it does not like my touch, but oh, it does. The computer has got some issues. This is beautiful. This is pretty awesome.
You can resize too.
Yeah. We can resize this part. We want to customize, resize, make it wide. Get it back to Hero Tom. Save it. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, sweet.
Let's look at hubs a little bit. Here you can see all these alerts, journeys. Those icons will get fixed. Yes, browse, all of those work great. Browse opens a journey.
You want to go through the create experience but not actually create anything?
Yeah, we can go and take a look at gallery, how gorgeous the gallery looks.
There we go.
Boom! That's pretty. Well, can you go to home and do see all? There. You can create just a regular website. There. It's awesome to create. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that was a very interesting video to see, how we could take it from the small screen into, something with gigantic stream real estate. I can just imagine some CXO going and playing around on the big screen. But I mean, getting from that point, getting to that point of beauty must have been something very difficult to do, because you can't just start with something being incredibly beautiful.
Right.
How did you go and, how did you kind of progress through building the brand new portal experience?
Mm, sure.
So I think around December 2012 timeframe, we were basically playing around with PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to draw stuff in PowerPoint, trying to go down and show it to a bunch of people. like, you know, Bill and Scott and Satya and, mm-hmm. and all these guys, and like just basically like, what do you think kind of thing. That was the original PowerPoint stuff, and when, like, you know, people saw it, it was immediately sold, right? Mm-hmm. Like people saw it like, oh, we totally want this.
Yeah.
And then after that, we basically like started our sprint one and sprint two. We were actually creating this PowerPoint for the team mm-hmm. to show how did our progression go.
Yes, from our humble beginnings. Yes.
Maybe we can show it over here.
So what you're saying right now is we're going to get some exclusive, never seen before footage of going and progressing through the portal.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So seen first here on Webcamps TV,
yes.
The beginnings of the new portal.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, so let me dig into it. So that is December 15, 2012, when we were doing PowerPoint. So this is just to give you a view. That is a PowerPoint slide.
Yeah.
As you can say, it's not
pretty slide wear.
Yeah, it's a pretty slide.
Yeah.
And it basically like showed about this original concepts, and then like, you know, we were thinking about the gallery create experience over there. Then we moved it inside. But this is one of the slides that we actually like were showing Satya, Scott, Bill, as I was mm-hmm. mentioning, and we were basically saying, hey, how does this go?
Right.
And then, like, you know, once we decided we were going to start working on it, like around, like, you know, our sprint two looked like this.
Right.
Like, you know, it was, and this is the, as you can see.
So
it's
what's the reasoning for the green?
Yeah.
Well, the blades were, blades didn't show.
They didn't, they were white. White on white, you can imagine.
Where does this begin and end?
So,
confusing.
So someone basically just decided to just color it to the color of their choice, but that was that, and then.
And not to mention, when we first started, we had many different feature crews all contributing to this first piece, you know. So as you see the pieces coming together, there's a lot of rough edges, a lot of integration, you know, seams showing through, you know.
So this is our sprint five, when we basically had our first grid show up, mm-hmm. and like, you know, how it looked like with grid. And you can see that there was notifications at that point in time, you know. Mm. And then, oh, the master detail, like,
yes,
that's
master detail.
That was like the, you could almost call it like Brad instead of master detail.
A big breakthrough part of the project. I don't know if you saw from the initial demo, but all the blades are related to each other by something we call light path. So in any given parent blade, you see a selection that leads to some child blade. And it gives you context, you know, because you'll be developing, you know, some significant content in these journeys. You look away, you go grab a pizza or something, you come back and you're lost, you know. This was our first light path that we saw.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that was master detail. This was our original create experience for a website. You can see like there's this thing over here, and you can also add source control and like, you know.
Does it feel stuffy and confined?
Yes.
Because it is.
And then these were the original controls that started coming in. The gauge used to look like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then eventually.
Well, what's interesting there as well is that, you know, each of these parts has its own extensibility model. The partner teams were building these parts, the visuals.
Yeah.
So this is the first kind of kick at an extensibility model and our first attempts to build, you know, what looks like pretty clunky UI inside these parts.
Yeah. And you can see the commanding started coming up at that time. So we were like doing right-click commanding, which right-click came in, but there were no commands on the top of the blade at that time, which now exist, you know?
Yeah.
And our loading screens were the same old Azure Rainbow Spinner, as you can see. Basically had the same thing for loading. And that is our selection commits, like the TFS. Yeah. TFS commits started showing up. This is real, except that right now it is selected.
Yes.
And like, you know, the selection, whenever we basically, we used to do this thing about like making things.
What do we call it? We called it lookless UI. Was it?
lookless
UI. Yes. It means nobody put any thought into what it would look like.
Yeah.
Just so that we could improve upon it.
Well,
later.
I mean, like every developer starts out with the black text on white background.
Yeah.
It's just
exactly.
You know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And actually, lookless was a pretty big thing. We basically had like carved it on our team rooms everywhere, where people would basically say, anytime you're spending time on UI, we're going to redo it anyway.
Yeah.
So you're going to do it like 100 times. So don't spend time on it. Let's get the thing working.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And so that's the TFS commit screen. oh, requests started showing up with mm-hmm. websites with that mm-hmm. like bar chart at that point in time.
Right.
And cool. selection model and like, you know, things like that. So this is, oh, that is our invalid part at that point in time.
Yes.
This is how our error part looks like. That's but yeah, so this is how it looked like, and then like, you know, this is how it looks like yes. now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know nothing really kicks off without having a few bugs here and there. And mm-hmm. I mean, if you even think back to how the name right. bug originated right. with a moth flying in and breaking a
yes,
capacitor.
Yes.
What was the key moth that flew into your portal?
Well, it was kind of interesting. Everything we were putting together was so new, even to the people who were building the project itself. You know, sure, they'd see the pretty slide, PowerPoint slides, and they get a sense for what we were doing, but it's so different than what's been done before that even the people building it weren't really grounded. Mm. So there were times where when you would go, where there was a bug, a particularly notable bug, where people would start opening blades, and they'd start opening up to the left of the current blade instead of to the right. And it was funny. People even, you know, there was a clamor, you know, amongst the partner teams saying, well, is this a new feature? Or is this, can I control this, whether it opens on the left or the right? And the reality is, it was just a plain bug, you know. But it just shows you, like, how quickly you're putting the thing together
yeah.
and how new everything was to all the people involved. So,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, you know, the architecture and stuff like that, which is behind this, is super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether if we should probably look at it.
Yeah. I think we should have enough time to dig in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay.
I can take a little walk through.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we get set up, or we're going to set up, right?
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick fade out, fade back in to switch out some computers.
Yeah,
but we'll
let's
be
do
back
that.
In a second. So we're back, we've switched some things around,
yeah, yeah.
but I just want to step back for one moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all see the portal as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
experience,
right,
nice
yeah.
portal.
Yeah.
But, you know, how many people are actually thinking about what's down under the covers?
Right,
so
right.
you've actually gone and built an entire framework to get this going,
right?
So yep. You just mentioned earlier that there's a whole bunch of partner teams that are building into
yeah,
this.
That's right.
They need to understand the building blocks, and that's
yeah.
what you're about to show us,
sure.
right,
yeah,
is the
yeah,
architecture.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
We put significant investment into this being a framework or a platform, you know, so that each of the individual parts that you see on the screen here can be developed by some partner team at Microsoft and eventually even third parties outside
yep.
of Microsoft as a part of the, you know, building into the
yep.
Azure ecosystem. And so what we have...
We already have one third party, right? Because the ClearDB
one. ClearDB,
yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
so,
yeah,
cool.
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That's
that's
cool.
our toe in the water along
yep.
those lines. But throughout, we've been building towards this. So even though you see very pretty pixels right now, the underpinnings here are hopefully something that people can build upon in the future to build many parts. And so I'm going to show you as a little kind of peek into what that architecture is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have in terms of Ibiza is a single page application like people are building today, right? They're using HTML, JavaScript, doing dynamic rendering in the client. I'm going to walk you through kind of an interesting addition to that is that we have a notion called extensions. So each of the individual parts you see on the screen are actually projected from an extension. And in this context, you know, websites could be an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Monitoring could be extension. ClearDB is an extension.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give you a sense for how those extensions participate in this larger web application that's running in your browser. And so when the portal bootstraps, we're going to load the shell, the Azure portal shell, just as you would a web page. JavaScript, HTML, everything's fine so far. What becomes a little bit novel now is that the shell, of course, has an iframe, a single visible iframe.
Mm-hmm.
But now our extensibility model is one where these extensions are loaded into their own invisible iframe. And so we use iframes here as kind of an isolation boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're building this extensibility model for eventual, you know, third parties to participate in. And so we want somewhere we can safely run their JavaScript so it doesn't affect the larger
yep.
look and feel of the portal, right? So we use iframes here kind of like as an isolation boundary. And so we'll load each of these extensions into its own separate iframe that's rendered off screen and is effectively invisible. And in that iframe, those iframes load like iframes do. They load a bunch of, they point them at a URL, and they load the HTML and JavaScript that constitute that extension, the parts that extension will project. And those are loaded from their own extension servers, on their own domains, importantly. So you'll stand these up if you're a third party. These will be on your own domain. These will be your own web servers.
So that's interesting, though, because doesn't that mean that potentially one of those extensions could go down?
Exactly. And not bring down the larger experience
of
the portal. Yeah,
that's right. A good distinction there.
And I think one point over here is that this also helps each of these extensions to deploy and develop at their own pace.
Precisely. Right? Yeah. Exactly. They can update their own cadence. They can make their experience as rich as they want to, as quickly as they want to.
Cool.
And now once these extension iframes are loaded, they proceed to project UI into parts. And what's interesting is they can only project UI into the little tile, which is their part. And so they can't affect the larger experience in a significant way. And now there's only one iframe involved here that's visible, and that's the shell's iframe. So that's important to understand. Mm-hmm. Often extensible web applications use iframes. Visible iframes is the way of putting untrusted UI. We're not following that pattern here. That's important because we want scale as well. You see the number of parts we have on the screen. You know, if that's going to scale up to hundreds of iframes running in a browser, that's not going to work very well in terms of performance. And so to project UI into one of these parts from an extension iframe, we follow an MVVM pattern. Mm-hmm. And so we have our hidden extension iframe. And the part that you see here is following this model view model pattern, where the view is described by an HTML template. We're using Knockout.js as that technology, as the library supporting that. And bound to that template is a view model, just written in authored in TypeScript. This is a TypeScript class, or it could be written in JavaScript as well. But again, just conventional use of Knockout here. And that binding is done in the shell's iframe. It's two-way data bound now, so it supports not only projecting data into a part, but also a user's editing of data in a part. And now, what's interesting now, and gets novel here, is that this view model that is bound into the view is actually hosted or is running in the extension's iframe. Yeah. So all the custom, possibly untrusted JavaScript code is running in their iframe. And we use HTML, send message, post message, to actually proxy that view model into the shell's iframe. So there's a proxy copy running in the shell's iframe now that is driving the driving the UI. Mm-hmm. And now underneath that view model, as is typical in an MVVM pattern, is you have some model data kind of projected through your view model. And that data is typically loaded from your own web services now and synchronized into a cache on the client. And to support two-way interactions in this part, mm-hmm. The data cache can change. That reflects quickly in the UI. And of course, users can proceed to go and edit data inside their part, and that is pushed back down into data caches as well.
Yeah.
So kind of following conventional MVVM patterns here.
Cool, that's really awesome. So, I mean, we only have a few minutes left, but I was wondering, you mentioned Knockout as one of the things that you use, TypeScript to manage the large JavaScript code base that you have going on.
Right.
What are some other libraries that you're using to bring the portal together?
Yeah, so what we didn't see here is underneath each of our parts are controls that are built into our framework. Mm-hmm. You see the consistent look and feel of our charts and graphs and whatnot. Yeah. Those are built in a kind of a similar fashion to jQuery widgets. Mm-hmm. Underneath some of those, we use the D3.js as a way of rendering those.
Cool.
We saw Knockout. For our CSS, we use Less as a way of kind of managing the significant CSS that we use for the portal.
And then there is Web API, which is the ASP.NET standard MVC Web API.
That's right.
And for AMD, we use Require.js.
Yes.
So it's actually like all the cool stuff that web developers love to use, use too.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And we also, one thing which is interesting is that we built all of our controls, which are all, obviously since our data binding is Knockout, all of our controls are built for Knockout. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have this enormous control library, which actually is a Knockout control library which we use.
Yeah. Cool. So that really shows that, we're using a lot of open source software that's out there to be able to compose this stuff together.
That's right, yeah.
What my next question is going to be. Will we ever see this framework get open sourced?
So I was mentioning to you about the control library.
Right.
And we're already using Knockout. So we are using a lot of interesting things inside to do these kind of things, like, you know, the proxy observables, which Brad was talking about, and, like, you know, the controls or stuff like that. We do hope that at some point in time, when it is, like, solid enough, mm-hmm. that we'll right. make it available to the community to use, because right. Then in that case, like, you can build awesome stuff like this too.
Cool. So. Excellent. I love that answer. I always put my guests on the spot. It's like, so are we going to see it open source at some point? But no, it's really exciting to see that, you know, we have put a lot of work into it, and with the ability to eventually, you know, get third parties building this stuff out, it makes sense to share it broader.
Yeah.
You know, why not extend that all the way to the community, to the great people that we have watching us today.
Totally.
Excellent. No, that's exciting. Hopefully, you know, well, once again, I just want to thank you both for coming on. No. Incredible journey.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't stop believing. it's been an incredible journey to see how the portal, you know, started. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see it here now. And really looking forward to more things getting added on.
Yeah.
So
stay tuned. We too are excited.
Excellent. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to have you back again sometime.
Yeah, yes.
Definitely.
Brilliant. So thank you both for joining me. Thank you all for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you next time here on WebCamps TV. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.